Welcome back to the Wolf of Cringe Street podcast. Today on the podcast, Fraser Grew wants to be the greatest filmmaker and producer that is in the world, has a crazy idea of filming 10,000 people's what their dreams are. Now, just to take this into consideration, if he does that one per day, it will take him just over 27 years to do this goal, to film 10,000 people's goals. This is from everyone from on the street to some of the top celebrities in the world. Of recent, he's just about a hit, or just around 2,000 goals that's been recorded. Over 350 of them would be mainstream top level sports stars and celebrities. Some of the likes of Zach King, Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Steve-O, and Tony Hawk. My coolest, I still think, is Steve-O.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are so many more people about this, and that's why I thought I wanted to get you on the show. Fraser, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. You're the first person to ever get my last name right.
Oh, it's right. Yeah.
Outside of my family for anything.
Awesome, man. I have tried
you didn't
my
have
best.
The T. Nice,
yeah,
man.
I even
very
wrote it down
smart.
Without the T.
The T is silent.
So the book that I always have, to anyone that's writing, the book that I always have in front of me is part of my notes for my show. And this is the last 40 guests' notes. And when there's an interesting one with names, I will write it down the way to sell it. I will write it down
so
phonetically
smart,
instead of the full name. So there is some last names in here. You look at it and go, that's not their last name. It's the way I say it. So yeah, it's awesome. But Fraser, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, bro.
I find your content just recently, only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I stumbled on and I hit you up, and it's just an outlandish, crazy idea. And I was like, this sounds amazing. I want to hear more about it. Tell me about where did the 10,000 come from?
So this started out as a bet with a mate.
Yep.
In 2016, I was meant to do it for 1 year, every single day for 1 year,
yep.
365 dreams. And about 200 something dreams in, I realized it was too easy. And for some reason, man, I don't know, 10,000 sounded cool.
Yeah.
So I changed it overnight to 10,000 days, thinking it'd be like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And then realizing it was like 27 and a half years.
Yeah.
So I'm like 2,000 dreams in. I did it every single day for 5 years, which was 1,819 dreams before I fizzled out.
Yeah.
And now it's a way healthier life mission.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get to 10,000 before the day I die.
I think you had the same realization that Naz Daly did with his daily videos when he hit 1,000, right?
I forgot about it.
Yeah,
yes,
So Naz Daly, anyone doesn't realize, is he's one of the best content creators in the world. And he did it 1 minute. He did the 1 minute with Naz Daly, and he went into a culture or city every single day and did 1 minute about the culture or that city. And it just, in the beginning, nothing, and then it just blew up. And then he went and did 1,000 days of this. And then he finally had to step away, same reason. He's just like, he became so famous. He had a full crew with him. They were doing it. And he stepped away from doing, like, I can't do the dailies. I'm going to do like a monthly one. But the funny enough thing is, you want to know what's going on at the moment?
What?
He's slowly going back to it. So he launched like a monthly video, and then he launched like this digital academy, how to learn how to do creation and all the rest of it. And recently, all his content is slowly going back to, but I think it's like a 5 minute vlog compared to 1 minute, same sort of thing. Because I think what he realized is the audience grew with him wanting his daily minute.
Yes.
And then he went away, and the audience is like, well, dude, it's like Zach King, which I know you've interviewed, right? Zach King became the man about doing sleight of hand and video editing and magic on video. If he changes from that, everyone's going to go,
yeah, that's
what the fuck, dude? Seriously, like, you're Zach King. You can't go and change and become a motivational speaker, right? That's what we want.
Exactly, man.
Yeah? So I thought that's interesting.
Same probably with Casey Neistat.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Because like now he posts maybe once every 2 months or something. But you're right. I'm probably less engaged as I was when you were seeing the daily.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Giving you a challenge.
Picking me back into.
So let's go back to it. You know, 2016 challenge. You do a year. You run for 5 years, 1,819 days. I think you said it was five years, right?
1,819.
1,819, right?
Yeah.
And then where did you realize, or where did it get to a point that if I look down the list of names that I've seen on your website and everything else, like, I don't even think Martin Scorsese's met as many big names and celebrities, right? I don't even think, like, you know, Barack Obama wouldn't even have as many people on his cell phone, right? Where did it get to a point that you realize, again, holy shit, this is cool and this is starting to get crazy?
But I think there's a number of different points. Like, I'm like on day six, I got Carmel Cipollone's dream when she was a local MP.
Yep.
And I thought
This is it,
man. Like, I'm not going to get bigger than a local MP.
Yeah.
So it genuinely, man, it felt impossible when I started to end up getting to an Ashton and Mila or something.
Yeah.
But there's been a number
Hold on. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. He's subtly dropping in it.
And like, I think there's been a number of points. I know around like 900, I had like a month where I had people like Jane Goodall, Jacinda Ardern, Bowden Barrett, Lydia Ko. Like, it was like this wave for a month. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. And then it went quiet for like 200 days. And then I had another wave during COVID where it was like Steve-O's and Rainn Wilson's and everything. And then...
Oh, Rainn Wilson, that's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool, Matt. But I think doing Ashton last year in May was the tipping point of... And I told this, I was at their house last week and I said to him, I was like, I feel... So embarrassing.
I don't know how it happens, man. This
blows my mind too.
So I'm just sitting here behind the camera we got at the moment for this session. We've got Mr. Will Fleming, the godfather of podcasts in New Zealand, one of the biggest content creators. And we're both sitting here, dude, that is amazing just to say from, you know, a local New Zealand boy to go, oh, dude, I was just in Ashton Kutcher's house last week, right?
Man. I literally spent nearly 2 hours. It was crazy. I don't even know. But I told him, I was like, bro, you validated me.
Yeah.
You doing this totally changed the landscape of the people I could connect with. And I think, since then, it's starting to get a lot easier to get yeses.
Yeah.
But I've seen more than 35,000 cold emails since I started. I've been rejected by everyone in the world. And I still get rejected daily by multiple people. But if you don't send that email, it just doesn't happen, man.
Yeah.
Like, Ashton and Mila were cold emails.
Yeah.
Literally just cold emails out of the blue. It can happen.
But look, I totally agree with that. Again, shouting back to Will. That's what part of one of Will's strategy. When we had a session about a year ago when we were chatting stuff, and I said to him, hey, as my podcast brand was starting to take the pivot from starting at the studio, we've done 40 episodes on New Direction. And one of the biggest things was, I'd gone from interviewing a different niche and overseas, now I wanted to become more local and wanted to have the right audience. The biggest thing was, how do I find these people without having the validation as yet?
Yeah.
So at the moment, I've got a certain level of validation, so I do get people asking me compared to me having to go out to more people as often. And the biggest thing that Wolf said to me was, dude, just email people and phone them. And I can't remember who you told me that you got, and you were like, dude, there was someone you got on the show, and you're like, for like 6 months, you emailed them like weekly or something. And it was like, till they were like,
And then
they're finally like, okay, I'll come on the show. Right? So I was like, okay, I've got to step up my game.
Who was your first person where you're like, oh, damn, I landed someone?
I've had a few people that have been important to me. A lot of people that I've had in this studio have been more resonated to what I'm trying to achieve about having a better message and changing the world. So there's been some cool moments. Everyone's been amazing in the studio, don't get me wrong. Not saying my previous guest.
No, absolutely.
But like, some of the cool parts that I've had before I came to here is I had James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy, that's got a Netflix documentary. He did 50 on Ironmans in 50 states.
The
documentary is still on Netflix. It's been there for almost a decade. I had him on my show in about the first 2 years. I was one of the first people outside of out of America to get him on a podcast. I'm a kid at heart. I had Donald Duck.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so the voice of Donald Duck. So I had to change. I had to change the episode because I used to film in my man cave with liquor behind me, and so then I had to go and take that all out and put toys. So Daniel Ross was a voice at that stage of Donald Duck. So that's him on. I've had other sort of celebrities and things, and it was coming along the path. But the funny thing is, and I think we spoke about before, is it's validation to a certain audience, but it doesn't necessarily blow you up.
Yeah.
So we just spoke about off air, like, would I have Jordan Belfort on my show? Would I knock my name off on? Not necessarily. Is he wouldn't blow my show up. It is about what audience takes from you and as the audience grows. So coming back to the studio, I've had amazing moments. I've had laughters and crying, and there's people here that we've spoken about stuff that's never been spoken about before. Dads losing their two-year-old daughter to cancer, people overcoming suicide to actually waking up from suicide to recover to become competing the world's strongest man.
Yeah.
You know, Rich Farrar that I've spoken to about on the show and that. So that's the stuff that's so cool that all of this, there's no up and down.
Yeah.
The last 18 months has been just like this level that I've felt is just
so cool,
man. It's so awesome. And I can imagine with you, you got into the stage of, and I know we're talking real crazy and all the stuff at the moment because it's such a cool point. I can imagine you getting to a point now that it feels like your baseline was here, your baseline has just come up now,
yeah.
And it just sits in that space of like awesomeness that if you actually stepped out of it and looked back, you would go as a normal person going, fuck, that is cool, right?
It is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in America last week and it was the craziest trip, like being in Vegas doing T-Pain in his hotel room. And then I was with Terry Crews for an hour at his office and just...
Is he as intense as you think he is?
He is the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
Genuinely one of the coolest dudes. He shared his story with me.
Have you read his book?
He gave it to me. I haven't read it. Have you read it?
Yeah, I have read it. So,
such a powerful story.
Yeah, it is. So a lot of people don't realize Terry Crews' backstory of coming up and, you know, getting the opportunity and then sexual assault, you know, against him, not the other way around, and literally like the Hollywood area turning their backs on him and then getting his opportunity in Training Day with Denzel Washington when he was running security. They're like, we need someone crazy and big, and then there was Terry Crews, and then everything they built up from that. So I think that's why he understands how hard he had to work to get where he is, right?
Oh yeah, well he was saying he was 30 with two kids and a wife, and they were dead broke, and he was sweeping floors for a living, and he had no interest in being an actor. He just told his wife, I'm gonna be famous one day, but I don't know why, and she backed him, and it's so inspiring. Great dude, genuinely great dude.
So let's talk a little bit. I've got my brain's got like a million miles because there's so many cool things, So let's talk about some of the stuff. We spoke about it actually outside the door when we just had Corinne Horan here before, and she asked a question which you said you've never been answered is, tell me outside of 2000 dreams you've heard, let's go, something that's moved you, something that's been amazing, something that's just been crazy. Tell me a couple of, not the people, but the dream that
has, actual dream.
The dream itself that you've walked away and went, holy shit, that's crazy good, crazy bad, or something that you've walked away from going, that's actually hurt my heart.
Yeah, well, I've had some crazy bad ones that I haven't posted, and I won't say what that, there's some dark dreams. I'm like, I ain't posting this. Yeah. This is really dark. I don't know, man. It's interesting. I feel like because I've heard so many dreams and because everyone's dream is equally as awesome, I feel like I kind of tie it now to the moment being with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less about what someone says. It's more about the moment.
Yeah.
So my best friend at his wedding with his wife in front of everyone on their wedding day, sunset, the full gown. That to me is probably my favorite dream ever because of the moment, because it meant so much to me. Mm-hmm. Doing my Nana before she passed away, and her dream was to live to 100 and she lived to 80, you know, like that's so powerful for me. But, oh man, I think what I've learned is every single person has a dream, even if at first they're kind of hesitant to share it. Mm-hmm. Like so many people will be like, oh, I don't have a dream. I don't know. But you can always get something out of them. And it's just such a gift that people trust me with their dreams. But I don't know, man, like crazy dream. Like I've heard every answer you could possibly imagine, man. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to go through them all right now. But I know I got chills once when I did Coco Gauff, who's a female tennis player, and her dream was to be the greatest tennis player of all time and to win a Grand Slam, and she was 16, and I got chills, and she won a Grand Slam last year.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, where you're like, genuinely chills when she said it.
The full circle's coming, right?
The full circle, man. Oh,
I'm hoping you did a piece of content around that.
I probably didn't. No, I need to refilm it.
You gotta B-roll that, man.
I'm not crazy social media savvy, but I've started to step up my game a lot in the last.
Hey, not. I know you've got amazing content. Do you have a crew that follows you?
No, I send all the emails. I film. I edit. Yeah. I do everything, man.
And you say you're not in the game. Like I want to.
I am in the game.
I'm gonna sit here and like calmly breathe, because like you've done 2,000 pieces of content with some amazing human beings across the world. Your content looks slick. You've met and experienced stuff, and you're like, nah, I'm not really in it, right? I don't really do content. I'm not really in it. I got to do better filming. And it's like, for the rest of us, we're like, we're trying to hustle and do shit. It's like, I wish my shit looked that good.
Thank you, man. I'm starting to step up. Like I met with a team in LA who want to help me kind of expand on it. So yeah. I've started to put steps in to go, okay, I think I've been in this weird middle ground of, I don't do this because I want to blow up.
Yeah.
I do this because this is my passion in life. This is my mission. I will do this till the day I die with 5 followers. Mm. But I also started to get to the point where I go, but I'm funding everything and I'm traveling around the world. What if I could get paid to do this and go and this is my job and I just get to travel and film dreams? I'm now leaning to, that'd be amazing. Build a team and actually not have to edit everything and film everything. So
The Gary Vee vibe.
Yeah, I'm getting more there now, man. Yeah. It took me way too long.
Because one of the questions I wanted to ask, right? So there's 2 parts on the question I asked. The first thing is, how are you doing this? Like, do you have a day job? Like, a lot of people don't realize is I have a day job outside of
Your day job?
Huh?
What's your day job?
That's boring. I'm a project manager. So
that's not boring, man.
Yeah, it's not boring. I love it and I'm great at it. And I wish I can convert the table of this becoming my day job, right? But do you have a day job that pays for this, or did you win like the lotto or something?
I've actually started to be people asking this more recently. Yeah. Like, how are you doing this?
Yeah, how are you traveling to LA just to go to Ashton Kutcher's house and like last week and you're back here this week?
I'm a filmmaker, man. That's my day job. Yep. So I produced a documentary on the Wiggles that came out in October.
Yes.
And
the big one now.
It came out on Amazon. So that happened because I filmed Their Dreams in 2019 and became friends. So that's a crazy story in itself. But that gave me some breathing room to go, you know what? I'm 29. I'm going 100% on my dream. I have an incredible wife who's backing me 100%. And we're a team in this. And we're kind of like, let's just send it.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, regret is the worst thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I've had regret in my life. And failure is not as scary as you think.
Mm-hmm.
I've failed so much and have been near broke so much, and it's never as bad as you think, man. So I'm in this no regrets mindset. No regrets, the tattoo. You know, that's my mindset right now, man. So I'm just sending it overseas, and stuff happens when you just send it. Like both trips, I've done 2 trips to LA in the last 3 months. Both trips, I had nothing really planned when I booked tickets. I was just like, I have to go and figure it out. And both weeks were totally full with crazy situations.
That's amazing, man. You talk about failure. The first session I had this morning with Tox Fowler, right here at the very bottom of books, is failure, because he talks about wishing he knew as a kid that failure is acceptable and failure is not the end, right?
No.
And that he wishes so he teaches that he runs a dojo, he's a pro wrestler, and he teaches that to his kids now, that you fail forward and you fail towards your goal compared to you learn towards and stuff like that. So it's interesting you said that.
Fast, man. Yeah. Fail more.
Totally. So you're saying your wife is supportive. So I'm going to throw a funny one out there. I'm wondering if she's supportive, because is her like hall pass like Mila Kunis, right? Is that the situation there, right?
Well, I think it's getting easier for her to go, okay, maybe these, like, she's constantly like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm FaceTiming her and I'm like, oh, Jade, I'm going to Ashton Miller's right now. And she's like, what? I don't know how it happened. So obviously, like, there'd be a line where if, say, no doors were opening, no, then it'd be like, all right. But she's the greatest wife ever, man.
So, you know, you've got a path that's giving you the breathing room. You've got this crazy idea. You know, we spoke about it, the cold calling. You go to LA twice in the last 3 months with nothing on the plate.
Yeah.
Everyone out there is going, okay, so yes, cold emails. Dude, Ashton's email ain't available on like Instagram. So I'm not asking you to tell me.
What's
and I'm, yeah, I'm not asking you to do that. When we're off camera, I'm South African, I can bribe you. When we're off camera, right, I'll give you some money. What is, for someone out there that's going, hey, I'd love to legitimately in the stuff, is it just knocking on door? Is it just using a network and going wider with your network continuously? Is that the way, like myself and Will, that's and content, and we do this sort of stuff. So within New Zealand, I've had big enough people that I can go to one person to say, hey, do you know the next person? Is that a standard approach? of trying to grow or reach out to people?
Oh, such a mix, man. I'd say 80% of people are flat cold emails.
Yeah.
I've been very fortunate with networks and connections mm-hmm. where there are people who have helped me connect with people yep. and have given me emails and stuff. But I think, man, it's probably less about getting the email. It's more about what you're pitching for.
Yeah.
Because you could get Barack Obama's personal email
yep.
and then go, hey, I'd love you to come to this retreat for 5 days yep. in New Zealand for free.
Yep.
He's not going to respond to that.
Yeah.
So the beauty of this is it's 30 seconds. I'll come to wherever on the planet you are, or a Zoom call. It will be so quick and easy. It's just me and a camera.
Yep.
And here's a list of other people who have done this. Mm-hmm. This is my life mission. And so I think it's the pitch is why people, it's probably making it easy for people to say yes.
Yeah.
But dude, I've done this for 7 years, man. It was so long before people would say yes. And there's still Kiwis. Like, I always joke with my wife, like, I have tried to get Hillary Barry and John Campbell for 7 years. It was easier getting Elmo and Ashton Kutcher than Hillary Barry and John Campbell. So if anyone's watching this who knows Hillary Barry and John Campbell, I have tried so hard. Yeah. There's no real formula. You just have to, I don't know, man. I think people respect shooting your shot.
Yeah.
And it's about follow-up too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing, man. So many people send an email and never follow up.
And never touch base, right?
Dude, I think it was like 8 emails to Sam Neill before mm-hmm. I got a yes. Like, you just have to keep following up, man.
Sam Neill's awesome, right? Dude, he's like, everyone in New Zealand loves Sam Neill, right?
Oh, you'd have to get him on the show. That would be a sick podcast. Would he be on your list of Kiwis to?
It's funny. People ask me, so many years ago when I started this and I had a different approach and all the rest of it, right? When I was in the arsehole, I'm less of an arsehole now. But when I started my podcast, I had hit lists. I had like the celebrities because the reason why I had a hit list was I thought they would make me famous.
Mm.
That's why I had a hit list.
Whoa.
Now my hit list is who has a message to share. I don't care if you've got 5 followers or 5 million, it's who has a message to share.
That's so cool.
So I now go and look at people for my show, not how famous they are. And funny enough is some of the most famous people might not necessarily have the greatest story.
Yeah.
And the story is what we as people on the other side of this audio or this video, they want to be inspired. So, or they want to be inspired or educated or entertained. What we do here is there's 2 things in the world. We want to be entertained or educated. That's what the internet's about, right? I go to Google, how to do this or how to make me laugh or how to make me grow. And in entertainment, it is either inspired or on a laugh, right?
Yeah.
So that's where you look at and then you get a mix of people that have been able to make it work in the middle ground, the Joe Rogans.
Mm.
Whether you support him or not, I know a lot of people aren't big fans, but he's been able to bring in the entertainment with education.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Impulsive, more entertainment side, but now they're slowly starting to get guests on that is more, that can inspire people and that sort of stuff. So you're talking about going back to your original question, would I have Sam Neill? I know what Sam Neill's story is. He would naturally fall into my calculation of, I would love to have him.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't no longer have a list of going, hey, I want that person, that person, that person, that person.
Who was on your ultimate hit list when you started?
Like, so the man, Jordan Belfort.
Jordan Belfort was number one.
Yeah, no. So Jordan Belfort, Jordan Belfort was, sort of on the list there. Crazy enough of being like presidents and top. Tony Robbins. So
you give me Tony. When I met you, I was like, this guy gives me Tony Robbins.
So
vibes.
I'm a massive Tony Robbins fan.
I was like, is that weird to say it?
I've met Tony at an event.
You have?
Yes. I've crewed at his UPW events.
Oh, so cool.
So get to see him backstage, got to stand next to him. We did a fire walk with him next to us and stuff. So Tony Robbins, a massive.
Is he intimidating in real life?
Dude, he's big.
I feel like he's such an intimidating
dude. And
he's
got those hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
He'd be shaking in your boots.
Yeah. So I remember the first time he came close to me, and this is just the weirdness of his energy. So I had gone and done a UPW event less than 6 months after my brain surgery. So I was still recovering. Mm. Most of the public did not know I had brain surgery, and I was recovering, and I was going through a lot of other shit. And I went and did this, which resonated what brought me back into a lot of the space where I'm at the moment. And so I was on this mission for these 5 days. Literally, I was lucky enough to run the front of house crew, but then I'd keep walking all day, and I had a mission of helping people doing as much. So I was all over the place. And one stage I found myself on the ground floor where he's walking, and he literally walked, and as crew, you're not allowed to be seen. So as he came, I sat and I squatted, and he walked past standing right in front of me. And to me, it was like, fuck. Like, one of my heroes, like, I can touch him. I'd be like, the security would attack me, but I could physically, like, touch him. And it was this weird energy that I either got off for it. And I can imagine with you, with your stuff and the people you've seen, you walk in and you go, holy shit.
It motivates you, inspires you.
And inspires you.
Absolutely.
And then we did a fire walk. And it was crazy enough because his body can't handle what he's doing. So he's going to do less and less events. And then we were doing the fire walk with everyone doing the fire walk on the second night. And he came out to us and he said, okay, I'm going to do a fire walk. And in the 20 years they've done in Australia, he had never done it. And he stood there, a line crew, and crew never done a fire walk themselves while being crew. He came in out for a couple of groups and said, cool, we're going to do a fire walk. And you walk up, if you've ever done UPW, and it's legit coals. You've got to walk over and everything. Yeah. And there's a person that gets
the fire walk, dude.
Yeah, that are legit. So we went to, I think it was lane number one. I was the very last lane that night. There was Tony standing. There was maybe about 80 or 90 of the crew who had the opportunity because the rest of the crew were somewhere else. And he was the anchor point to get you ready. So before you're allowed to do the firewalk at a UPW event, there's someone that has to make sure you are in the right state and you're ready and you sight.
And that was Tony.
Oh, and he stands there and he grabs your hand, he puts his hands on your shoulder. He's like, oh, you're ready. Dude, the split second he puts his hand, I'm like, fuck, I'm ready. Dude, Tony Robbins is holding on to me. How am I not ready, right? And he's like, go, and we go. And we all walk, and he's walking back, and we all like taking selfies. He's going, and we're like freaking out at the event because that's our hero walking with us, right? So coming back to, Tony would be an amazing person because as much as he's spoken and said a lot, there's always new things because Tony meets new people and does new things and experiences new things. There's always a new piece to it where I find, like we spoke about before, would I have Jordan Belfort on the show? No, because his story hasn't changed.
Yeah.
He said his story is the same every single time. Yeah. Tony Robbins, currently a guy like Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Elon Musk would have to be on top of anyone's list.
Yeah.
Richard Branson. So those are the big overseas type people.
Yes.
At the moment, you know, across the New Zealand space, there would be there's a few people on my list, and I don't want to put it out there at the moment. I've been chasing Izzy for a couple of years.
Put it out there, man.
Israel Adesanya, I've been chasing for a couple of years. I've had, like, everyone will know this. I've had like every single one of Izzy's coaches on the outside of the circle without being able to get it in. So, so the MMA, the UFC boys, Shane Young, I've had Shane Young's sponsor come on the show and called him out, and I still can't get Shane on the show. So Shane, Izzy, I'm busy talking to Joseph Parker with what he's going on at the moment. So that's a long play.
Have you spoken to Izzy about it, or is it just getting to him?
No, I think I'm not in Izzy's. I think I got it closer to Izzy's circle before Izzy would even resonate with me.
Yeah.
So I see Izzy being one of the boys, and you can respect this, that New Zealand culture, there's the boys group, and I can't get to the alpha
before I'm close enough, right? The alpha. Yeah,
so he's definitely alpha. Yeah. So I'm about three contacts out. I need to get another one in, and then I can get to him.
It's like getting to Richie McCaw. You got to break through a few of the other boys before you get to
So Razor and Richie is two people I won't have on my show.
Oh.
No, just Richie is – I grew up with a kid – same position, same mentality, and never had to say a lot to get respect. Richie's the same.
Mm.
Richie doesn't speak a lot or say a lot or be in the public eye. What he did with the All Blacks is he got people to pay attention by what he did and the way he led it and the way he controlled, right? Mm. So if you look at a lot of it, and I'm speaking as the public, not seeing what has happened behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But there's been no knowledge of ever showing that Richie shouts in change rooms, and he's a high speaker to say what's going on, and he's a big motivator like Sia Khaleesi for the Springboks, right?
Mm.
Sia Khaleesi stands with hand on heart publicly, and this is the way. Richie was never like that.
Mm.
So my challenge is We're having an amazing energetic moment here and show that's going on, right?
Would you have that
Would same... I have the same thing with Richie sitting there when he's on a different, he's on a flatter level? I think he would have amazing things to say, but the energy and the level of it might be a bit vanilla.
Interesting. Yeah.
You don't see Richie being interviewed. He doesn't do it anyway.
Yeah.
Razor's the same. Scott Robinson, you don't see him, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard that he might not be the greatest naturally. So he motivates in a certain way. It doesn't mean it comes across great.
Yeah.
There are coaches that are amazing. Doesn't necessarily it comes across the mic correctly, right?
As a South African, do you want Brian Habana on the show? He's probably my favorite rugby player ever.
Brian would be amazing to have on, but I would have to go back to sort of guys like, if I go rugby, I want guys like Bucky's Buerta. That the fear of the world, he demolished people. So he would have stories. I've heard stories of like John Smith spoke about stories of when they went into a scrum and Bucky's told him to move his ass and he just punched the living shit out of someone else, right? And so he's outspoken and that sort of stuff. So that guy's like him and old school Victor Matfield.
Yeah.
You know, so the older style guys. Yeah, Brian's amazing. He's very well spoken. But he's, again, very clean.
Yes.
So on an entertainment point of view, right?
It would be.
It would be cool to have him. I've got a friend of mine that's in the podcast game that interviewed, interviewed his wife and, you know, she's got charity organizations, all the rest. So there's guys that are cool, but it's about where the story is.
Yeah.
So there has to be a story or something cool about the story if I would have
respect
him on my show.
That, man. Yeah. Really respect that.
So, I mean, talking a lot about me now. This is about you, right?
I'm more comfortable asking questions. I know. I always dodge talking about myself.
So, so I'm sitting here for like, I've just realized like 10 minutes straight and I hate that, like of me talking. I'm not on this.
I ask the questions, man. I know, turning this around.
We're not allowed to do that. Now, look here. Coming back to you saying you're being uncomfortable. Why?
Oh, say that again.
Why? Why? Well, why? Why are you doing this for you?
Why am I doing this?
Yes.
I think, man, you shared your story before this. When I was younger, my dream was to be the greatest filmmaker of all time and to win an Oscar at 23. First day of film school, 16, in front of 80 people, teachers like, all right, let's go around the circle, share your dreams of film. And I said, I'm going to win an Oscar at 23. And they all laughed. Like, I was so adamant. I was so selfish. I had the biggest ego. I used to pray every single day, God help me be the greatest filmmaker of all time. Like every day, like my whole life was about me becoming that. Yeah. And then I made a feature film at 20, 21 and it came out and it bombed. Mm. And I thought that was Hollywood's coming. Like this is it. And it shook me to my bones, man. And I did a lot of self-reflection and realized the type of person I was. And that's around the time when 10,000 Dreams came out of nowhere. Mm. This was not the plan. And I was resentful about this for maybe a year because this thing was taking all my attention away from me being the greatest filmmaker of all time. I couldn't do both. This was like, and I think as I've done this for 7 years, man, I realized that helping people dream and helping people to sit and reflect on their dreams is the greatest gift of my life, man. I genuinely am so grateful that I get to go around the world and talk to people about dreams. It makes me so happy. And the fact that people light up when they talk about their dreams is so fun. Because people want to talk about their dreams. We just don't talk about it. You know, if you're out with a group of mates having a beer, you're not going to go, hey, what's your dream, guys? It just doesn't happen. And I think it's a deeper thing now, man. My dream is to help the world dream. And I genuinely mean that. And I know I'm not perfect. And there's moments where maybe I get caught up and I go, whoa, I've done a month of only celebrity. Oh my gosh, I need to go back to the heart of this thing. But, it's just waking up knowing this is what I do is just so great, man. And I genuinely just finding a purpose, finding a mission in life. It doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of money or it doesn't block, like you just, it gives you fuel, man. So.
In what you said, 29. So in 50 years time, when you're sitting on a park bench looking over and the sun is setting, what is the one thing you're going to think about back to this moment or this last couple of years that is going to make your heart feel good?
That I've got an incredible marriage with my wife still. That my drive and ambition doesn't take over my life. I used to be married. This is my second marriage. And my drive and ambition took over my marriage. That is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Jade is number one.
Yeah.
And of course, there's periods where that's not the case and she kicks me up the ass. But in 50 years, man, if I'm sitting on that park bench and Jade's next to me, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
That's your dream.
Yeah.
Awesome. So last point I'm going to get to you today. Who's number one in your list?
Okay. When I started, I wrote out a hit list.
You like must have.
I wrote five names that at the time, outrageously impossible. Like it was just a joke how impossible these were.
Was one Barack?
No, but it was, it was Steven Spielberg, number
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Justin Bieber, Roger Federer, J.K. Rowling, and Elmo. So I've ticked off Elmo. I did him last year.
Would you still go J.K. Rowling? Things have changed a bit in that space, right?
It's a complicated thing now. But
it's a political answer.
I cannot get past the fact that Harry Potter was my childhood. It was my teenage years. She has been such an inspiration to me.
Of the world.
Her story of being like 33 with a kid near broke writing Harry Potter on the dole is so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably still have her on the list, man. But I'm aware that it would probably be a controversy.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen, man. I've got four lists on that list.
And talk me through the five again.
Okay. Spielberg is my hero. Yeah. Justin Bieber, I'm a giant believer, bro.
Don't say that out in public, please.
I'm not ashamed, man. I was a believer before it was cool.
Are you a Swiftie as well?
You know when Baby came out and all the boys were anti-Justin Bieber?
I'm going to go say no.
I was the big... I know you're a Justin Bieber fan. You listen to...
Oh, don't start.
And then Roger Federer. Tennis is like my... That's my thing, man. It's going to happen. All that.
But now seven years later...
Mm.
Anyone new on that list or coming close to that list?
For sure, man. I'm working on a documentary where basically I'm going to chase the 10 most impossible people in the world in 100 days.
Oh, yeah.
And on that list is, you know, your Banksy's, your Elon Musk, your King, your... Banksy would be dope, man. Doing Banksy would be like probably the most impossible person.
She put Putin on your list.
I mean, if JK's controversial, I mean, that one would probably shut me down, bro. But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I believe everyone has the right to dream.
Yeah.
Dreams are something that connect us as humans.
Yeah.
So where's the line?
Trump.
I do Trump. I think Putin would be, I need a boardroom meeting with a bunch of people to go like.
Shouldn't I?
Or can I do it and just not post it for the story?
Yeah.
I love stories. So But I'd do Trump for sure, man. Yeah. I'd do Trump.
I think a lot of people. I definitely would. I would definitely have a chat to him. It'd be fun, right?
Fascinating, man.
Right? If he's and the crazy thing about why he would be fascinating, he is unfiltered. He's not controlled. So that's why one of the biggest things. Like I've had people that have asked me like politics in New Zealand. I've had the opportunity. But they're all filtered. So one of the big rules I have underlined in my show is I want to be able to ask you a question and I want you to be able to answer me the question and the real. I don't want you to come and go, my brain says this, but my mouth's going to say that, right? And that's where, Trump, you would get what he's thinking, right? Same with Elon, right? He's going to tell right?
Oh, yeah. So apologies for my JK answer. That was such a political answer.
No,
I was like processing. I was like, oh man, how do I word this thing?
So that's awesome, man. And then it's amazing. And I think I know we're coming up to end now. I think it's almost been going for an hour and doesn't feel like
been going for an hour?
Maybe 50 minutes.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And
how does that happen?
I know,
man? That is.
And we can talk. We can talk for hours. You know, Fraser. One of the things I just want to end off the show today is to leave our audience with just a thought from yourself at the moment.
Yeah.
A thought for 2024. How about that?
Oh, okay. I hit a point at the end of last year where it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, I woke up one day and I was like, whoa, no one else on the planet is waking up every morning going, how can I make Fraser's dreams come true today? Mm-hmm. I'm the only person that's waking up going, how do I make my dreams come true? And I probably spent most of my 20s putting so much power into other people, mm-hmm. mentors, producers, whatever it is, going, well, I can only do it if they give me permission to do it. And I'm like, no, I have to go and make it happen. Mm. I have to take the risk. I have to book the flight to LA with nothing booked. I have to go and knock on 50 doors. And and it was so liberating and exciting. And everything since that moment, the doors that have opened has blown my mind, because I realized that I just better ask forgiveness than permission. Yep. That's what someone said to me once. And that's the place I'm in right now, man. Just go for it. Make your dreams. You have to make it happen.
It's so true. One of the famous segments out of Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey always does he always does his segments off air when they're recording, right? And there's always these nuggets.
I love those.
Trevor Noah, you know, another guy on my list. And he's done so much.
Oh, he's coming here in November.
Yeah.
Don't make it happen, man.
Yeah, we got to do shit. Hey, well, we want to go and
have to make it happen.
Don't even watch me. I was like, yeah, fuck it, we're gonna make it happen.
So it'll be a 30-minute interview. Yeah. I'll come to you backstage.
Yeah. So Steve Harvey, one of his biggest things he says, and I think he was talking about it in more of a religious way, but he was saying in the sense of when a door closes, a lot of people have this problem that a door's closed and they can't go anywhere. And he goes, one thing you got to do is you got to walk up the hall, because if you walk up the hall, there's other doors.
Yeah.
And then some of them might be closed and some of them might be open.
Yeah.
But if one closes, don't think it's the end. Just walk up the hall and keep looking for open doors.
Or climb through the window.
Yeah. We just spoke about that before.
Get creative and try harder and make it happen.
So awesome. Fraser, thanks so much for that, man. You know, we're going to end off to the show today. Main thing is, where can we find you?
Like Instagram, TikTok, I've got a website, 10,000dreams.org. But I'd say Instagram's probably where I'm most active.
Yeah.
But bro, before we... Yeah. I have to ask you, man.
Yeah.
Lawrence, what's your dream?
This is a hard one for me.
You knew
I know it was coming, and I've been thinking about it for the last... I've got a personal one and a professional one.
Yeah.
Can I answer both?
Please.
Ooh. I'll take a second. Personal one, that my kids think I'm a good father.
Mm.
Oh, I've put my family through a lot of shit with my surgery, and just that my kids think I'm a good dad.
Mm.
That'll be a dream. I see my dad being that to me now, and I hope I can do the same for my kids.
Yeah. Amazing answer.
Oh, bastard. I don't like it. You're supposed to cry on my podcast, not me, man.
I almost did with the wife answer.
Yeah, no, I saw that. And a professional one. My 5 years ago, my dream was to be on top of the mountain. My dream is now that I want to stand at the bottom of the mountain and be proud for the people that I've helped climb to the top for their goals. And I can stand at the bottom going, I used to know that person before they were successful and famous. I used to know them back in the day. And whether they remember me or not, my goal is that I can look up and go and I know what they did to get to the top.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you, Lawrence.
So much, Fraser.
That's so cool.
What an interesting way to end off the show,
man. Please send that to me, Will. I want that.
So, but anyway, to everyone else, thanks for coming over to one of the craziest and funnest and amazing episodes we had on the Wolf of Queen Street. As I always say at the end of my shows, I don't care about the shares or likes. I care about you taking something from the show that resonates with you, that resonates with yourself, your family, or someone else. We don't need to become famous. We don't need more famous people. We need more people making a difference and helping each other out. So something from this you can take it. Someone else, you know, that can take something from this. Confuse them. Tell them it's the funniest show you've ever seen and just get them to watch it, because maybe they need to hear it to help them in their lives. But as always, thanks for coming over to the Wolf of Kingship podcast. And as always, hope to see you again.